Pop Culture Meltdown.
Welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Meltdown. I'm Chris Libertini. Across from me is Louis Pellegrino.
Oh, just call me Lou. It's easier.
Across from me is Lou Pellegrino.
Or Sweet Lou. I mean, Sweet Lou. Louis is how I introduce myself to people.
Right.
But if you know me long enough, you could call me Lou.
That's a good point. I feel like I'm like your mom saying Louis.
Yeah.
You know.
My wife calls me Louis.
All right. Well, the bedroom?
That's personal.
Speaking of something that's very personal.
And no, she does not.
Okay. Speaking of something very personal, unfortunately today, Burt Reynolds passed away. We're recording this on Thursday, September 6th, so the timing of this is a little crazy. His real name was Burton Leon Reynolds. He was born in Lansing, Michigan,
yep.
And the guy lived to be 82 years old.
You know, there are some people in life that you think would live forever, and obviously he will from his movies
and
from his TV shows, and, you know, like when a great singer dies or an actor or an entertainer like Burt Reynolds, you at least have them forever. But there were certain people that you just thought they were going to live forever, and he's one of those guys that no matter how old he got, he's still badass, he's still tough, he's still cool. We were watching videos on YouTube of him telling stories to Jon Favreau, Tony Shalhoub, Richard Lewis, and Kevin James. I think it was from Jon Favreau's old TV show called Dinner for Five, where it's a
Dinner
bunch
for
of
five.
Actors and entertainers
just sitting
around, you know, enjoying dinner and smoking cigars and drinking their brandy or whatever it was they were drinking, whatever cocktails, if that. And Burt, just the way he held that room in the palm of his hand, like when he was telling stories, everybody had their chance on camera and everybody got their words in, but when Burt was talking, you could just see everyone just the eyes glazing over, and they're just like, wow, Burt Reynolds is really going off and telling a story. And
totally.
He tells this great story about Robert Mitchum, another tough guy
who
you probably thought would never die. But yeah, you know, my wife and I actually just recently saw that movie that he did called, oh my God, I'm going to blank on the title, but it was like The Last of the Great Movie Stars, or The Last Movie Star, I think it was called.
The Last Movie Star.
Yeah.
It's 2017.
He's absolutely fantastic.
Well, he's fantastic
in this
all the
movie.
Time.
He's fantastic in this movie.
Yeah. I was going to say to you, this is how crazy it is, ladies and gentlemen. Lou and I have such a similar thought process that when Lou walked into my studio before we recorded this podcast,
right.
I was listening and watching the bloopers from Cannonball Run. And then Lou sits down, he puts his computer down, he puts his Brajol on the table, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he starts watching this thing on his phone. And I look over and I go, are you watching the outtakes from Cannonball Run?
Sure was.
This is the type of effect that this guy had on, you know, a 30-something and a 30-something.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable.
You know, and he was a guy who, if you think about it, was a really, really talented serious actor. If you see Deliverance, he's fantastic in it.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have Smokey and the Bandit.
Did Cletus call you a legend?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Well, I used to do some crazy things. I used to.
You have Cannonball Run. You have
Striptease, where he plays a guy that's covered in oil the whole
right.
time.
And don't forget The Longest Yard,
yes.
where he's, you know, oh God, what's his name? Crew. I can't remember the first. I'm dropping. I'm so disappointed in myself. That Paul Crew, I think his name was.
I'm looking.
The inmate, and he's just fantastic. And played football at Florida State. I believe he was a teammate of Lee Corso. I mean, the guy just, or maybe play, I have so much information in my head, I can't remember if he either played for Lee Corso or played with, I think he played with Lee Corso, but Burt Reynolds is just one of those guys that every time he popped up in movies, in television shows, it shows you how versatile he was, and also how he was able to reinvent himself, because like I said, if you look at his list of movies from the 70s through the 80s, he appears on a Golden Girls episode. They make fun of him or use his likeness on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
Norm Macdonald does a very
That's
funny
amazing.
Burt Reynolds
Norm
impression.
Norm Macdonald is amazing. By the way, who did you say?
Paul Crew?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Did? Okay.
Nailed
Got
it.
Got it. See that?
But yeah, Burt Reynolds, they did him on Jeopardy. And,
right.
Trebek, you know.
Yeah, Turd Ferguson.
Yeah, Turd Ferguson. I mean, just the guy I've known him forever. You've known him forever. I mean, the one of the biggest roles for me, obviously Cannonball Run, but...
Dated the hottest women
Boogie
at the time.
Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
He was in Boogie Nights,
yeah.
And he was the porn director, the main guy.
Sure.
Jack Warner, filmmaker.
Really?
Yeah.
There's nobody else that could play that guy. The casting in that movie was so freaking good.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, he touched so many people and so many lives, and he worked with the Rat Pack, and he just came on through. So, 82 years old.
I never expected to get that news today on social media. When
Listen,
you looked on Twitter, and there it said Burt Reynolds passes at 82.
But he passed from a heart attack. You're 82 years old.
Is that what it was?
That's what it was. Cardiac arrest. Cardiac arrest.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, listen. You know, sometimes you got a good ticker, sometimes you don't. Hey, knock on wood that we never, get eliminated from this world that way. But everybody's going.
Yeah,
everybody's going.
I mean, if you look, you look at 82. That's not exactly old anymore.
It's not.
You know, like I was taught, it was
60 used to be old.
Right. I was at a family function for Labor Day, and my grandmother. You know, we got into a conversation of my grandfather and his brothers and this. And she said, you know, oh, Grandpa passed away at 72. And I don't want to bring this to a downer. But she said, Grandpa passed away at 72. And I forgot that my grandfather was, in fact, 72 years old when he passed away. Because when you hear 72, that doesn't seem old anymore.
You're almost like a life taken too soon.
Right.
You know?
So this was also 1997, 98 when he passed away.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Now you're thinking, okay, this is a long time ago.
Right.
But... in your head, you're thinking, yeah, my grandfather, he was old. Because then you realize 72. And now you look at some 72
years
old.
Yeah, it's 20 years ago.
You know, you look at Jane Fonda. You look at Lily Tomlin, the way they look in, as they're in their late...
Sterling's 81
right. I think, actually,
years
I think Jane
old.
Fonda might... Is Jane Fonda closer to 80? I think Jane Fonda might be closer to 80. But you get my point. And I understand these are actors and actresses who probably have personal trainers and keep themselves...
Jane Fonda's 80, born in 1937.
Jane Fonda's 80, does not look 80.
Listen.
All. And I don't know if that's, and I mean, not that I don't know. Listen, people have surgery. People do this.
Right.
People
She's
do
doing
that,
the show
whatever.
With Lily Tomlin on Netflix.
Yeah,
tremendous.
Grace and Frankie's a
tremendous.
Great show. I
tremendous.
Love that show.
Tremendous.
But you know what I mean? Like, Burt Reynolds, 82 years old, passing away. 82 just doesn't seem old, especially when you have the pictures that you have of Burt Reynolds in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's one of those, wow, Hollywood lost an icon, but. Thank God we still have movies and you know, DVDs and everything else that we could just go back and watch. And like I said before, he'll eventually live forever.
Yep.
Or essentially live forever.
Agreed. Rest in peace, Burt Reynolds, 82 years old.
I just go from place to place and do what I do best.
What's that?
Show off.
You do that well.
He-Man, I believe this week, it was the 35th anniversary of episode 1 of their children's cartoon.
He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
I am Adam, Prince of Eternia and defender of the secrets of Castle Grayskull. This is Cringer, my fearless friend. Fabulous secret powers were revealed to me the day I held aloft my magic sword and said,
by the power of Grayskull, I am the power! Cringer became the mighty Battle Cat, and I became He-Man. The most powerful man in the universe. Only three others share this secret. Our friends, the Sorceress, Man-at-Arms, and Orko. Together we defend Castle Grayskull from the evil forces of Skeletor.
It's so funny that you bring this up. I used to watch this show all the time.
Oh.
They just recently put it on Netflix like two
every
years ago,
day.
Year and a half ago.
You'd get out of school, you'd get home.
Yep.
I want to say 3:30, 4 o'clock, He-Man came on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they made She-Ra. And that was my sister's favorite.
Right.
So, but you know what?
Warrior was, Princess,
yeah,
She-Ra?
That's Xena, Warrior Princess.
All right,
She-Ra was He-Man's sister.
There it is, okay.
And what's her name? Princess Aurora?
Yep.
I think her name was Aurora and then turned into She-Ra. But anyway, this is about He-Man. But She-Ra was cool too because you had He-Man first and then all of a sudden after that, you'd get the crossover because every now and then Skeletor would go on and try to fight with the Horde and Hordak, and they would team up, and then He-Man would show up.
I'm gonna get you and save
his sister, and in return she would come and help save He-Man. Mm-hmm. It was great, but you know, you get into these conversations via text and sometimes even in person if you're so lucky to have friends that actually, you know, come over and spend time with
you rather than text.
But the funny thing is, everybody that I know that had He-Man toys growing up and watched the cartoon religiously, everyone to a man and some girls, Skeletor was their favorite character on the cartoon.
Well, he was so ridiculous.
Oh my God, like, he was so funny.
He would do the dumbest things and then be like, "Oh, I'm going to get you."
Yes, exactly.
like
that's a very good impression of him.
Thank
too.
You very much. I appreciate that. There's actually this commercial that came out about a bunch of years ago.
Oh, I remember. I remember
you
that.
Know, where it's He-Man and Skeletor dancing, and it's for like a European grocery store.
Oh boy.
And it's them dancing Dirty Dancing together.
Oh boy.
It's tremendous. But I'm just saying, it's, you know, He-Man, and now you're telling me it's how many years since?
35. Yep.
Years. So in 1983, this thing came out. Mm-hmm. That's what you're telling me right now. I was 3 years old.
Yeah. So
I was little Chris Libertini, hadn't even lost his virginity yet.
September 5th, 1983, 35 years ago, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe cartoon series debuted in syndication, ran 2 seasons and 130 episodes.
Wow.
130 episodes. So, of course, now, my buddy and I being the big, you know, geeks that we are.
Right.
Who was your favorite character on the cartoon, Skeletor? Right. Who was your favorite action figure that they made? And then he just starts going off. He starts naming everybody. I like Stratos. I like Ram Man, Web Store, Cobra Khan.
Yeah.
Mecha Neck, Manny Faces. And then I said, was Moss Man a He-Man or She-Ra? I go, was Moss Man He-Man or She-Ra? He goes, He-Man. He goes, he smelled good. I'm like, what the, like, really?
Well, they had the plastic that they used.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say, I do remember I had battle-tested armor He-Man. Where there would be
when you hit the chest, it would make the dents in the armor.
Exactly.
They had
micro.
Hey, listen. Now we're gonna get into like micro machines and they used to have that too with Mattel. They used to do that with the cars.
It's literally,
where you could have the cop car and the cop car, and then all of a sudden there's a dent that appears in the side.
Exactly.
It was great. Oh man,
things like that are really what defined our childhood. Now,
and it defines this podcast, because if we didn't have that childhood, we wouldn't have this.
That's a good point. Now I think, you know, childhood is trying not to catch gonorrhea and trying not to do crystal meth at 12 years old.
Oh, well, you know, we're eating Tide Pods.
We're eating Tide Pods.
Without going into like a whole big political thing, it's very simple. There are a lot of kids now that are isolated and sit in this fortress of solitude.
Oh, Superman reference. Nicely done.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
And what they do is they put their headset on and they play video games with their friends, but they don't venture outside. There's no human contact. There's no physical football being played or softball or manhunt or, you know, ghost in the graveyard.
Yeah, nobody
or anything
touches
like
them
that.
Except their uncle.
Well, I don't know what kind of family you grew up in. I know you did grow up in like really, really, really backwoods Jersey. But
Honestly, Central Jersey, two great parents, a great family, a great support system.
Yeah, I know. I follow you on Instagram too. I know you're a great family. Every time Chris has dinner with his family, there's always some like random family video of like, "Hey, we're having spaghetti tonight. Here's my grandmother. I'm serving her.
That's it.
This is my mom. Who do I look like? Do I look more like my mom or my dad? Here's my dad. Here's my mom. Here's my dad. Here's my mom. Who do you think? This is my sister. Hands off, boys." That's a Libertini, like, my story.
Well done.
We'll get into more stories about Chris on this podcast, but one thing he used to do when we used to work at that satellite radio company down the block. We worked for the Stern channels, which was fun. We were paid very poorly, but it was fun. I met so many great people there that were not associated with the channel, but either way. But they used to have Cupcake Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
So Crumb's Bakery used to just send over a bunch of, you know, what do they call that, Ruggles?
Yeah, the Ruggles.
The Ruggles, right?
Yeah,
with, like, the raspberry and the chocolate Ruggles.
The chocolate Ruggles, the raspberry Ruggles, apricot.
Right, and then they would have these great cupcakes. Chris used to take it upon himself when everybody had their fill and there was leftovers. He would fill up a box, the top of a box or the bottom of a box, whichever way you're looking at it, with cake and cookies and all that. And he would bring it down to the 19th floor, which is where some of the salespeople and marketing people sat for Sirius. We were on the 36th and 37th floor for programming and production, and the other people sat on the 19th floor. Chris would take it like a waiter, and he would just go around the cubicle to cubicle. I used to get so mad at him because in my head I'm going, "You stupid idiot. These people are not doing this for you. They're not doing it for you. Why are you being Mr. Nice Guy?"
I was the mayor.
You were the mayor. And you know what, though? You're a good dude.
You talk
to
people.
You're a good egg Noonan.
You know people.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, to be honest, did it really get me anywhere? It got me to where I am today, whatever. But
right.
At the same point,
you're a good egg Noonan.
For me, it was an excuse to talk to people. I'm a very social guy.
Oh, yeah, you need an excuse to talk to people. Please.
I'm a very social guy, and I see stuff like that, and I see waste.
Chris, when Chris ever gets married, I guarantee you there's going to be about 7 trees along the streets that are going to show up at his wedding because Chris just started talking to them one day,
yeah.
And they're going to get an invitation.
Right. 6 squirrels.
Right, exactly. Right. Oh, Petey! You made it!
And it's funny because my dad is very social like that. Like, he'll talk to the lady behind the counter.
I am too.
But that's what it is.
I just will not bust my ass that hard to put cookies and cake and bring it around to people.
Amazing.
I'm their waiter.
Well, speaking of busting your ass, this guy that we have on our show this week, and he's going to be a recurring segment. His name is Adam Glynn.
Oh,
he's
boy.
Absolutely fantastic.
Yes,
he's
sir.
On Instagram, AdamGlyn. He's doing a segment called Not a Celebrity. The guy's an expert on anything that goes on in Hollywood, anything that goes on in New York City. If it's entertainment, he is all over it.
Well, he better be all over this podcast then, because this is entertaining.
Well, there you go. And without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Adam Glynn. Fame. Pop Culture Meltdown. Chris Libertini, Lou Pellegrino. We've got a new segment here with Adam Glynn. He's actually fantastic. I've known him for a very, very long time. He's on Instagram at Adam Glynn. He's on YouTube at Adam's Apple. He is a self-proclaimed street journalist. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam Glynn.
Adam, my man, what's going on?
What's up, guys? What's up, brother? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it, man. Listen, I met you a couple years ago when I was working for the King of All Media down the block here, and I'm very impressed by you, Adam.
I appreciate that. Yeah, when I say the word street journalist, people are like, what does that mean? And it's just something, a title I give myself. Some people might call it paparazzi, but I honestly feel like I do something different. I do street interviews with celebrities on the street, and I get legit interviews. I've interviewed everyone from Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, to Beyonce, to Shaquille O'Neal, Adam Sandler, Brad Pitt. Like, I've got them all. So that's exactly what I do. I do street interviews and provide content to outlets,
and
media
outlets. And the coolest thing about you is, you mentioned that Shaquille O'Neal thing. You're actually friends with Shaquille O'Neal.
He's my best friend.
Right, like it's not like a bullshit thing. Like, you know Shaq.
He's my best friend. We're very good friends. And the coolest part is I met him on the street and we became friends. And that's, people are like, how do you just meet them? Like, you know what? We just became friends. I met him on the street. We became cool. And then we just kind of developed this relationship. And then I call him for advice. He'll hit me up. We send each other gifts. I mean, he's just, we're good friends.
It's amazing, Adam.
He's the best.
Let's get right to it here on Pop Culture Meltdown. This is called Not a Celebrity, and it's for the reason that we talk about pop culture and the latest news right now. Eminem dropped an album last Friday. We got to talk about it.
Eminem dropped an album last Friday. You know, no one knew it was coming out, but mm-hmm. There was a little surprise on the album. He dissed a little bit Machine Gun Kelly. Machine Gun Kelly didn't really enjoy that, and he came out with his own freestyle diss track and basically ripped Eminem, and the whole internet is talking about this freestyle that Machine Gun Kelly did. And, you know, there's mentions of Eminem's daughter.
Wow.
There's been names. So it's pretty insane. And especially, it's kind of crazy because Machine Gun Kelly has been a little bit of a feud recently with G-Eazy regarding his girlfriend. What's that girl's name? The girl from Jersey. It's all right.
Okay,
I know. I can't even keep up. It's just never ends.
Girlfriend will do
There's
it.
A white rapper feud going on, white rapper battle going on right now. But, you know, Machine Gun Kelly is starting feuds with G-Eazy, now with Eminem. And now everyone's saying and wondering, is Eminem going to respond? So I don't know. I don't know if he should respond, if he shouldn't. I mean, he has nothing to lose, but he has nothing to gain because he's Eminem. He's the king, one of the kings of rap, one of the biggest rappers of all time. And Machine Gun Kelly is some guy who's been a little bit hanging on for maybe the past 10 years or so. You know, he's had a successful career, but he hasn't reached the platform or the celebrity status like Eminem.
And do you think that Eminem sits there and goes like, why should I even respond to this guy? He's not even on my level. Like, get on my level.
You know what? Everyone was talking about it the day the freestyle dropped. It dropped on like World Star Hip Hop. Mm-hmm. And everyone's talking Machine Gun Kelly, Machine Gun Kelly. Now, you know, 2 days later, 3 days later, no one's going to care. No one's going to respond. Because, again, Eminem does not have to prove himself.
Definitely
Machine
not.
Gun Kelly does. Eminem has nothing to do. He's sitting in Detroit. He's sitting on a ton of money. Like, so he could only really lose, you know? Like, yeah, it might help out the album, but he just came out with his own whole huge album. He has nothing to really prove. And this album, hopefully, is a success, because his last album, a lot of people think it was kind of a little bit of a flop. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of went at Trump a little bit, but fans didn't really reciprocate to the album or just kind of relate to the album as well as his old stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but my feeling is, Eminem, don't respond. Just leave it as is. It's fine. Who cares? It's
I would
a fart
totally
in the
agree.
Wind.
And it was crazy because I was listening to the album and he's rapping so fast on this new thing. Like, every single song is like a quick trap song where he's just, I mean, I caught, he was talking about Future. He says he has no future what was it? It was...
Does this translate to the new generation of rap music? I mean, with all the little rappers going on right now, that's the thing I wonder. If the newer generation of rap fans, if they're going to understand and appreciate Eminem, because it's a different time. You know, mm-hmm. they might... it's not Drake. Eminem's his own thing. And I don't know if Eminem should kind of change his style to fit in with what's going on today with the mumble rap or...
Right.
Kind of like the singing type rap, but mm-hmm. Eminem's still sticking to his style. I'm just curious if there's going to be new fans coming to it or mm-hmm. from it, or how people are going to really take it in and respond to this new album.
It's amazing to me to look at somebody and go, Eminem, what a 40-year-old guy. I don't want to listen to him. Where I see Eminem, I think Eminem with the blonde hair on the Music Awards coming through, and he's got all these people behind him. It's My Name Is. And
he still looks like Eminem.
He really does.
I feel like he's been frozen in Detroit for the past 10 years because he looks amazing. You know, he looks great.
Yeah.
And actually, Machine Gun Kelly and the freestyle kind of makes fun of Eminem's acting, saying like, I've seen your acting on a treadmill. I've seen your work. And I was like, dude, the guy's got an Oscar. I mean, and that was an amazing movie. Like, you can't shit on him for what he did.
I agree.
The guy, he pioneered what you're doing. You know what? Eminem probably did start it by bringing up Machine Gun Kelly's name first. Mm-hmm. And you could see a video that Machine Gun Kelly put on Instagram. Like, he was happy about that Eminem actually mentioned his name.
I'm relevant.
Exactly.
Somebody knows me.
But Machine Gun Kelly did what he had to do and respond to that and did a whole song, a freestyle. And it's a great freestyle. It's a great diss track of Eminem. With that said, Eminem, do not respond to it. You have nothing to prove. You can only lose because you're Eminem.
Love it.
All right, so Adam, Louis C.K., he makes an impromptu appearance at a comedy club and goes up on stage and doesn't even offer an apology or even really address the situation. What are your thoughts on this?
So here's the thing, Lou. Louis C.K., I'm a comedian. So Louis C.K. has been popping his head into the Comedy Cellar, which is where he made his stand-up return. But he's been popping his head in a little bit just to see how the other comedians would respond to him. And people were just kind of like, oh, there's Louis. And he was just hanging out. He didn't even go on stage for the past few months. But he's popping his head, hanging out with some of the guys who open up for him on the road, and just trying to see what the vibe is and make sure that people didn't have weren't pissed off at him. There was talks, and I know through sources, that Louis C.K. considered doing stand-up in Mexico and doing a whole Spanish set.
What?
Yeah, he was going to do he was going to turn to stand-up with a whole Spanish set and do it in Mexico, but I don't think he did it.
Amazing.
But he came back to this Comedy Cellar. He performed. It sounds like he had a standing ovation. People were excited to see him. Mm-hmm. You know what? He's going to have to address it at some point. Right now, he's just getting his comedy rust off. Mm-hmm. And you have to respect that. You know, I don't respect what he did. However, I'm sure going to address it, and he's got to address it. He's got to talk about the elephant in the room. And you know, as a comedian, we're comedians. We're there to be funny. And you know what? He's trying to make people feel good about themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe through his own hell. And I respect him for that. You know, he could be in hide. He's made enough money. He can hide for the rest of his life. But you know what? He's a comedian. And as a comedian, you want to entertain people. And he's going back to entertain people to make people feel happy. At that, you have to respect that.
Oh, for sure. And I even respect the fact, you know, even now. So you look at all these people with the Me Too movement and, you know, they'll say, Adam Glenn touched my vagina in 1987. Adam Glenn's career is over. And that was in third grade. You by accident brushed up against this chick in third grade. So now she hates you. Adam Glenn is devil number one. And now Adam Glenn has no more career. It doesn't excuse what you did in third grade. But at the same point, if you come back and you say, listen, I was a dumb kid in third grade. I was drunk on the chocolate milk. It was before music recital. I hadn't had my nap that day.
He apologized already. You know, like when it first happened, he apologized. And, you know, they had a movie that basically didn't come out. And he's going to have to talk about it in interviews.
Right.
You know, and listen, I'm sure he's I shouldn't say I'm sure because I don't really know him personally. Mm-hmm. But he's going to probably talk about it on stage. Knowing Louis and his stand up, he's going to talk about it on stage at some point.
He's going to come right out.
And I'm excited to hear what he's going to say. You know, I'm excited to hear his take on it, because there's two sides to his story. You know what? And I want to hear his side to the story. I want to hear what he has to say.
Right.
I want to learn from it. And I think as a comedian, there's things that people can learn from his story and his incident that they could see maybe that they didn't realize that they were doing in their own personal life. And we could take something from that. And you know what? This is, I hate to say it, but he's going to make a ton of money from it. You know, people are going to come out in the people coming in the crowds are going to be, he's still going to sell out. People want to see Louis. He has a fan base. His fan base is not going anywhere. They kind of, I don't want to say they kind of see that with him, but they know what he's about. He's not a Jimmy Fallon, you know, nice guy.
He's not a feel good.
He's a real dude. He screwed up. He screwed up. And he's going to have to face it, and I'm curious what he's going to have to say. So I don't want him to hide. I want to hear what he has to say, and maybe he can impact someone else's life.
Totally. And I believe that everybody loves a comeback. Everybody loves the story
of comeback.
You know, Britney Spears. She's shaving her head and sitting there with the umbrella. There's the famous picture. What is she doing now? She's on a worldwide tour, selling out everywhere. She's on Instagram being a mom of two teenage boys. Comeback.
It's like Mickey Rourke, the wrestler. You know,
yes!
we want to see, he's our Mickey Rourke, you know, in the comedy community. And I'm just excited we want to see a comeback. Mm-hmm. I think we all want to see him do well because, again, you want to see him do well because before you heard about this incident, most people, they liked him.
They liked him. They liked the show on HBO. They, you know, he's dealing with his kids in the subway and the whole thing. What say the HBO says? All right, Louis. Come back.
I'm just curious. He's stand up, I think, is not going anywhere. Will he get another TV deal like he did with the Louis show and stuff like that? Or is he going to make more movies? That's the stuff I'm going to be very curious in, how the media. I mean, listen, I don't have to forgive him. I wasn't part of the incident. But I want to see what the executives do. Are they going to hire him for more work? Is he going to get more? Because stand up, he's going to continue to crush doing stand up.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to movies and TV, mm-hmm. will people still invest in him?
I think yes, because I don't think any TV will touch him, the traditional TV, you know, that we talk about. But I think that Netflix, Amazon, I think they'll be all over him.
Yeah, I'm curious who's going to give him the first deal. Is it going to be Netflix, HBO, Showtime?
YouTube,
who's going to throw him the money?
Something like that. You know, they'll say, all right, we'll take a chance. We'll see what happens. Instant mill. You know, you never know this stuff. It comes out of nowhere, and then they give the guy a shot, and he's back.
You know what? He could be doing a Chappelle thing right now. We don't even know about it. He already has maybe a deal with Netflix. Again, we don't know about it. He could just, like Eminem just did, drop an album.
Right. Yeah.
Louis C.K. can maybe just drop a special. I mean, that's what kind of comedian he is. He's one of the best. So I can actually see him just kind of dropping a special out of nowhere, film it very low-key, and just dropping, you know, without even really touring. But again, I'm just curious what the future is for Louis.
Awesome. Adam Glenn, thank you so much for coming in. You can catch Adam Glenn. He's a comedian. He's a self-proclaimed street journalist. You can catch him on Instagram at Adam Glenn. That's A-D-A-M-G-L-Y-N. And you can catch him on YouTube at Adam's Apple. Adam Glenn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Lou, guys, thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.
All right, Adam. Thanks so much, man. We'll see you soon, buddy.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Fame!
And that was Adam Glenn with Not a Celebrity. You gotta love that kid.
Love that guy. Love him.
He's awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
I can remember meeting him back in the day when we both worked for, you know, the down the street with the King of All Media down there.
Oh, I believe they used to call it
When we worked there, I just met him on the street one day. Shuley was walking. He's like, oh, yeah, that's Adam. What does Adam do? Adam has the greatest job ever where he just walks around with a camera and talks to people. Hey. And he's like best friends with Shaq. I mean, the kid's amazing.
Hey, he's amazing. Listen, if you're friends with Kazam, That's pretty good.
That's a good point. Well, speaking of Kazam, I'm sure that a lot of people are saying Kazam down south in this place we like to call Florida. The craziest things happen in Florida, Lewis.
Oh, yes, they do. And yes, they do.
We like to, at Pop Culture Meltdown, highlight the batshittery, the crazy Florida.
What's going on in Florida now?
A lot of things, Lou.
Oh, boy.
Stay tuned. Here we go. This is Florida.
Now let's all get drunk and play ping pong.
This is Florida.
Sniff coke with a goat, then shove it up your butt for later.
This is Florida.
Hook up with your brother, have a baby looking like a gator.
This is Florida.
It's a gunshot state. Get shot by the hooker, should have paid her.
This is Florida.
Grandma got crashed from the sex party with her neighbors.
This is Florida.
This is Florida.
Oh, that is some nasty shit.
Hey, it's Pop Culture Meltdown. It's Chris Libertini. It's Lou Pellegrino. And this is Florida, Lou. Do you know that it's Florida? You know, crazy things happen in Florida?
Yes, 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 yes. Spent many time in Florida.
I am so happy that we don't live in Florida because any given day, you're going to get the craziest stories in Florida.
It's been that way for years.
Yeah, like insane. Like we were on the internet and we found out this guy, Richard Patterson, was having relations. This guy's 65 years old guy.
Good for you, Richard. Good for you.
And you know, in true old man fashion, sleeping with every flues that's out there. And when you're 65, you could sleep with everybody. Young, old, because you get the young girls that like
so
the sugar daddy.
Is he this year's, or not year's, but this era's Blanche Devereaux?
I'd totally give it to him on
and
that.
And it's Miami.
And she sit there and, why I do declare.
That's right. This is Pop Culture Meltdown. So if you don't know who Blanche Devereaux is, then you should not be listening to this podcast.
Exactly.
Or if you have the time, go Google it.
Yeah, go find out who
Fort
Blanche
Lauderdale,
Devereaux is.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They were in Miami, the Golden Girls. So yeah, Blanche Devereaux. So Richard Patterson, you're the new Blanche Devereaux.
Well, this guy's in Broward County, and his girlfriend choked, supposedly, on his penis. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah. It says her death is consistent with being accidentally sexually asphyxiated during oral sex.
Sounds like one of my dates.
These names, though, they sound so
contrived,
made up. Richard Patterson, seriously? Dick Patterson?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Well, the greatest part about it is I think about this and
Dr.
You know,
Wright, Dr. Ronald Wright.
Well, he's not Dr. Wrong.
No.
Yeah, go talk to the dead guy that's 6 feet under. He'll tell you Dr. Wrong.
Oh,
but
boy.
So this guy comes on and he's the last person to be seen with this woman who passes away,
sure,
very, very sadly.
Sure.
When they finally do find the body is or the cause of death is unidentifiable. So this guy comes on and like, that man was the last woman or last man to be seen with my girl, but my grandma, he must have done it. And he says, well, the only way I can think about it is she choked on my dick during oral sex.
Jeez.
Isn't that unbelievable?
What a horrible way to go.
But the greatest part about it is that the lawyer that Richard Patterson had, who's this guy with the dick, and I'm sure there are many people with dicks in this trial, but this dick is under question. He comes on and he says, Judge, I think that my client should show his penis to the jury.
Oh, Lord.
And not only that, you can't show a flaccid penis to the jury.
Well, that's the question that was asked by the prosecutor.
It's not going to have the same effect. But here's my question to you, because listen, you've had relations. You know,
yes.
You're now married. Congratulations.
Oh,
God bless you,
so
you and your
thank
beautiful
you.
Wife, the whole deal.
Thank you.
You know that in the beginning of relations, sometimes you need a little help in that area where once it hits said mouth,
sure,
then,
yes,
you know, Wonder Twin powers activate.
Absolutely.
and Super Friends and the whole thing. And
you know, hold on one second.
Talk to me.
You're talking about the Super Friends.
Yes.
You're talking about the Wonder Twins,
yes.
Zan and Jaina.
Wonder Twin powers activate.
That douche always turned into something stupid.
Yeah.
Like water.
Right.
I'm going to form a water sprout. I would have been like, a water spout? Really? Shit.
Shape of octopus.
Form of an ice unicycle.
Turn into a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Turn into a robot. Turn into Superman.
Give me something.
Hey, Superman, guess what? I'm going to turn into you. Hit me. Hit me, sis. You know? But getting back to this,
yes.
I mean, my goodness. A blowjob causing someone to die,
yeah.
possibly, and asking to show your dick either flaccid or erect mm-hmm. to a
Think
jury.
About this. You went to law school, right?
Right.
You studied 5-6 years. You go to law school. You get your big break, and it's a guy. You're defending a guy who supposedly choked this girl out with his cock.
I mean,
this is your first, maybe it's your 15th case.
My cousin Vinny. Yeah, listen, the guy, could you imagine? Yeah,
wait
listen.
A minute. I shot the clerk.
You're getting me for nothing, you little fuck.
You should be grateful right now.
You should
now.
Be down on your fuck. Oh, wait a minute. No. That may be how you die now. But you know what? I mean, God, it's crazy.
It's unbelievable. Like, the guy.
I feel bad for the woman. I feel bad like we're making fun of it.
Oh, it's horrible, but it's.
I know I couldn't imagine myself dying that way.
Listen, if they came in and they're like, Lou went down on a chick and he died because he choked on her pussy.
I'm trying to find the woman's name. Do they even have
it?
The
doesn't even
name?
Have the woman's name in
oh,
the entire
poor
article.
Woman.
The only woman that's there is this poor judge, Lisa Porter, who I only can imagine. Excuse me, I need to see you in judge's chambers.
Yeah.
They close the door and you go, Your Honor,
God.
I need to show this guy's dick to the entire jury.
The only time I ever heard or saw someone die by penis was from the movie A Clockwork Orange.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Alexander Delage, mm-hmm. he breaks into the house and he mm-hmm. kills the athletic lady with the giant
dildo
sculpture.
Yep.
Don't touch that.
It's happened. I actually found her name. So this guy, Richard Patterson, is 65.
And if he, let's see, here's the thing. If he was on Viagra, he probably had to wait 3 hours for that thing to go down. Or
that's
if it's longer than 3 or 6 hours, you know, consult a doctor.
Consult
I guess it
doctor.
Went down,
right.
but, you know.
So he was dating a 60-year-old girl, Francesca Marquinez.
Ooh.
So this is what happened. So she died in 2015.
Oh.
They've been waiting 2 years for trial.
Oh, my God.
They had a week-long trial, and he was found not guilty of second-degree murder.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not like... I don't see how you can find him guilty. Unless, look, you know, in the movie Clerks, when they talk about Superman,
uh-huh.
and he could never have sex with Lois Lane because he would wear a kryptonite condom,
but
that would kill him.
Yeah, because he'd shoot a load
and
through her back.
And he would shoot a load through her back like a shotgun.
Like a shotgun,
and
exactly.
the baby would kick through her stomach because of the sun if she gets a tan, you know, so that's what I mean, you know, but like, I don't think this guy willingly knew, like, hey, if she blows me, I'm going to kill her.
It's a good point.
You know, or even if if you watch the TV show Shameless, there was a character on Shameless who was not able to have sex because her heart couldn't take it. So there
yes.
was that one point where she's like, listen, I haven't had sex. I'm miserable. I don't want to live anymore. So I'm going to go out banging. And sure enough, William H. Macy's character bangs her. And in the middle of her orgasm, her heart ceases and she dies. She died the way she wanted. You can't.
She gave her money to him. That's what it was.
But you know, right. But you know what I mean? But it was one of those, I don't think you could bring him up on charges because she knowingly knew what the risks were of having sex. So in this, maybe she just did it the wrong way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, I can remember being like a teenager and kissing a girl for the first time. And sometimes if you don't breathe the right way or if you don't do the right things, you end up like sucking the person's lip in
it's a whole deal.
I mean, you'd
think by 60, you know how to suck a cock though. I mean, come on.
Hey, listen,
how many dicks you got to suck before
listen,
you figure, what is it?
You'll,
10 dicks?
You'll
12
be
dicks?
36 in a row?
37
in a row. Right, 37.
So,
love that movie.
They said
Clerks, if you don't know.
Yeah, it's tremendous. They said that the choking during the sex act was unlikely, and they said that that's not how she died, but that's how the guy thought that she died.
She maybe had a heart attack in the middle of it.
Which they still don't know. They still don't know how this
She could
woman
have had
died.
An embolism. She could have had a shock of seeing something so big. I mean,
That's a good point. And to put a bow on the whole entire thing, they still never showed the guy's cock to the jury.
Thank God for that.
I mean, at least they kept it in his pants.
Could you imagine? This is Judge Chamberlain Halla.
Do you think that, like, so, like, old people, they use Tinder, obviously, or Bumble, or whatever the hell it is. Do you think he now writes under it, like, women have died sucking this dick? Do you think that would be, like, a funny thing to say, or do you think just not, you know?
The Dick of Death.
The Dick of Death.
Well, we'll go back to the Golden Girls again, because you remember there was those episodes where Rose said every time she was nervous about having sex again, because the last time she had sex with her husband Charlie, he died.
That's right.
And then there was another guy that she slept with, who
was
Al Beatty, who was the ring salesman or whatever. See, don't mess with me on this stuff. Beatty.
Wasn't that almost like a Leona Helmsley kind of thing that they were going for? Like Leona Helmsley, you know, she was a big mogul in Manhattan. She had all these men who died that she would date.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I thought they modeled it out of that.
Well, but anyway, so then she the payoff at the end of the episode. Ah, screw it. Watch it yourself. Now, the payoff at the end of the episode's funny because, you know, she went on a boat with or she went on a date with somebody months later, and it was like they had sex and then he died. And then so I told the police, because the sheriff showed up and said, you know, it just happens. Everybody that I sleep with dies. And then the sheriff says, okay, sleep with me. And she's like, so I did. And then he died. And Blanche and Dorothy are sitting there like shocked. She goes, I'm kidding. Everybody's fine. It was great. It was wonderful. But, you know, it was kind of, yeah, I think the episode is called In a Bed of Roses.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a Golden Girls episode called In a Bed of Roses. So if you want to see that,
it's
very funny.
Love it. All right.
Before we go, that show is amazing, because here I sit now, much older than I was when that show came out. And I sat there and laughed at that show because they reminded me of my grandmother and her friends.
Mm-hmm.
You don't catch the sexual innuendo. It goes right over your head. You know Blanche is a man crazy, you know.
Filthy whore.
Slut.
Filthy.
And, well, actually, I don't want to say it that way. Blanche is just a man crazy woman who just enjoys the pleasure of company.
I'll give you that.
I want to be a little bit nicer, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with a woman who goes out and likes to have a good time and dates men and
God bless.
That stuff. Because I'll tell you what. Men can sure do it, so I want to make sure that everybody knows this is a very
No double standards
here, absolutely not. But they reminded me of my grandmother's and my grandmother's friends, and now, older, watching the shows, you realize the brilliance of the acting, the brilliance of the writing, because they get jokes in there, and it's like, holy shit, that's funny.
To this day, I go, picture it. Sicily.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
1972.
Oh, it's 1972, more like 1912.
There's that one, and then back in St. Olaf, we had a cow that would milk, and it would sometimes have gold milk. I mean, who knows whatever the hell she'd say.
It was cottage cheese.
Right, exactly.
It was butter. What is it? I can't remember. It was like the moose who would ski backwards down buttermilk, and she's like, it was cottage cheese.
Amazing.
I know too much about pop culture and 80s stuff. My goodness.
I love it. All right, this has been This is Florida, where we cover the absolute craziest things that have gone on in Florida from the week, from the month, from the year. If it happens and it's absolutely batshit crazy, we are covering it. Correct, Lou?
Absolutely. Florida, 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 what gifts you give us.
Thank you, Florida. We'll see you soon.
Oh, you nasty.
Louie.
I'm absolutely speechless, dude. I'm absolutely speechless. My goodness.
I mean, listen.
All you have to do is just type in Florida news stories in any search engine and look at what comes up. Wow. I have no words.
At any time in Florida, you could have a next-door neighbor that's having sex with his dog while hiding cocaine in his anus, and then excreting it, and then feeding it to his underaged lesbian Nazi hooker daughter. You know what I'm saying? Like, the craziest things happen in Florida.
Jeez. I mean, after a while, people are going to stop retiring to Florida.
Because they're going to be like, that place is way too crazy for us.
Remember growing up, where they moved to? Oh, my aunt and uncle, they moved to Florida. They're retired. Okay. And now all of a sudden, these stories just are plentiful. All the time, every day, week after week, month after month, there's stories about Florida. There are weird, wacky stories about Florida. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, listen, who knows if Burt Reynolds ever lived in Florida? You know, God rest his soul, the whole deal. We covered Burt Reynolds today. God knows if He-Man ever go to Florida? I'm sure he had a nice place in Sarasota.
I don't think so. His mother was from planet Earth, but I don't think she was from...
She
wasn't from Florida, no.
Right, yeah. They didn't go to Eternia on vacation.
Correct.
They, you know, all right. Correct. Well, that wraps up this episode of Pop Culture Meltdown. He's Lou Pellegrino. I'm Chris Libertini. And we do a podcast here in New York City, and you should subscribe to it. I mean, if they're listening at this point.
Actually, if you're subscribed to it, why don't you tell like 20 of your friends to also subscribe and listen.
Walk around your work.
Leave a rating and review on iTunes.
Yep.
All of that good stuff. 5 stars, we'd prefer.
Of course.
But you know what? We're not suckers. We're like you out there. If there's constructive criticism, give it to us. We'll probably implement it, or we'll just curse you,
Luke,
under our breath.
Can you hate the podcast, give it 1 star, then listen again and again, and then
build
update
it
and give it 5 stars?
We'd like you to start at 5 stars. Maybe if you want to start at 4 because you don't want to give, you know, it's like a good point. It's like a Hall of Fame voting.
Right.
You're not going to just vote someone in unanimously unless it's, you know, Michael Jordan, Wayne Gretzky, or
Piazza.
Mike Piazza, unfortunately, did not get in on the first ballot, but, you know, that's all right. At least he got in. But you know what I'm talking about.
I do. All right. Pop Culture Meltdown. He's Lou Pellegrino. I'm Chris Libertini. We'll see you next week.
Pop Culture Meltdown.
If you'd like to email the show, email popculturemeltdown@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram @popculturemeltdown. Catch independent street journalist and comedian Adam Glynn on Twitter and on Instagram @AdamGlynn. Special thanks to myself, producer Laura Ponte. The voice of Pop Culture Meltdown is Dan Kelly, voice talent and one of the best human beings on the planet. For bookings, go to DanKellyVO.com. Our graphic designer is Ricky Soto, Tim Einenkel with OG, and of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Rudsky. This has been Pop Culture Meltdown, Season 1, Episode 2, with Chris Libertini and Lou Pellegrino.
They are intelligent. They are smarter than the most up-to-date supercomputers. We cannot underestimate it.